Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and I sound like flaming asshole this week, guys.
I hear that. Is that your computer fan going in the background?
I'm on my internal mic this week. We've gone so long without a show that we all got together and said we got to do a show right now. So I didn't even have my microphone with me, but I'll have my microphone next week. But for this week, I'm going to sound terrible. So deal with it. All right, who's this I got with me? Wee Miller, who is that?
Well, this is Wee Miller of Firaxis fame. Wee Miller is currently podcasting from Casa de Meyer. He's house-sitting for Mr. Sid Meier this weekend.
I don't understand. Now let's hold the f***ing phone. How is it that you are house-sitting for Sid Meier?
You know, if you were to ask me that question about a month ago, I couldn't tell you.
Uh-huh. Okay, we know what's going on but, there. We've also got Justin Ficarotta of Kill Monty fame.
Dude, how we doing? Dude, Mr. Miller, you need to get us over there. I will put a Wiimote through his television.
I love it.
Party at the Meyer household.
All right. Now, guys, before we start the show, we got some big f***ing... I'm sorry, I'm talking like a sailor today, but I'm so excited. We've got some big news. Now, not only last month were we on Podcast Alley... Number 17. That's a big deal, guys. 17. That's almost 10. And we know what happens at 10 for those of you who listen regularly. But this week, guys, we've got a special feature. That's right. I hope you're ready for it. The return of battle.
Oh, my God.
All right. Ooh, that's so loud.
Dude, it must be loud.
That's right. That's the law. It must be loud. So, for those of you who used to listen to our live shows back in the IMG days, I think that was around like IMG 30s-ish, we used to have a segment on the show called Battle. This is where we get the listeners to call in. We make them say smart things or get destroyed instantly. So, we kind of gave up on that because we didn't have enough listeners calling. It was the same people every week, so we gave up on it. But now, we've got a new idea.
So Blake Buck came up with this brilliant, brilliant idea. Look, I'm going to talk over you, Blake Buck, because you sound like butt. So Blake Buck had this brilliant idea. See, the problem with the original battle was that, we were hampered by the amount of users that would call in. That was the limiting reactant in the equation.
Dude, our listeners were dumb.
Our listeners were dumb. So new battle strategy is we call you. That's right. We call you. You leave your number either on our email or you can leave it on our listener line, and we will call you. We're not going to tell you when. And we're not going to tell you under what circumstances we'll do this, but we're going to call you, and we'll give you a challenge. Could be a physical challenge. Could be a challenge of wit and intellect. But if you can...
Could be a memory game. See if you can remember what you're supposed to think about certain games or people.
That's right. So we're gonna test this out with our very favorite editor, Lucas. And we're going to call him up and issue him a command, which he has 1 hour to complete.
All right, do it, baby.
So what are we going to make Lucas do?
Well, see, Lucas is a master of eating. He has the intestinal fortitude of I don't even know what.
Dude, he ate the Octomac in 2.5 minutes. 2.5 minutes.
That's right. He conquered the Octomac, and he sent me this horrendous image the other day of this burrito he ate that was just disgusting looking. So we got to thinking, what if we took the burrito and the Octomac and put them together? But wait, that's not enough.
But Burrito Mac is not enough?
No, it's got to be wrapped in a pizza. So if you can acquire these three items, combine them together into one gastronomic disaster, and consume it within an hour, you win. If not, well, you're going to get on the wall of shame.
Dude, we need to have glory.html and suck.html.
All right, well, call him up.
So now we have to have a way of documenting that he's actually eating this, too.
Well, he's got to take photos. That's the rule.
He's got to take photos and present them to us.
To get a mission, you know, a command mission, you've got to have a digital camera. That's stipulation number one.
I'd also say, barring that, calling us up while you are eating it so we can hear you chewing.
No, you never call us, ever. Come on. All
right, Blake Buck, call him up.
You call him up. You're the host.
Oh, God damn it. All right.
Hello? Oh. All right, I'm not supposed to say. Dang.
Silence! You have been chosen to perform the very first, well, BDPE Battle 2.0 Challenge. Do you accept?
I accept.
Okay. Well, Lucas, you are a master of gastronomic feats beyond which I cannot compare.
I concur.
Okay. So we've seen you eat the Octomac. We've seen you eat a burrito the size of my face. Now we're going to take it to the next level. Son, are you ready?
I believe so.
You have 1 hour to eat, well, to create first, then eat a concoction of a Big Mac, a burrito wrapped in a pizza. You have 1 hour. You must submit photographic evidence that you have done this. We'll be calling you.
A Big Mac burrito wrapped in a pizza?
You all That's want correct.
Like toppings or fillings to the burrito?
Whatever you want.
I think I'll go with that. That sounds delicious. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you in an hour.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Good luck, sir. Godspeed.
Thank you.
Oh, I love it.
That's it. Battle has begun.
All right, it's 8:23 by my clock. Oh, man. All right, we got to get this show rolling.
All right, all right. Good. That was good.
I accept.
That could not have gone better.
I love how his old battle instinct kicked in, so he thought he had to say something good while the battle music was going. But no, that's not how new battle works. You don't talk. We talk.
All right. And with that, it's time for your gaming news for Wednesday, August 15th, 2007. Guys, this week in the news, Silicon Knights lunch money stolen. It announces another four-letter first-person shooter and the return of Dietrich. All this and more on this week's best damn podcast ever. William Miller, what you got?
Man, I tell you, Blake Buck, I don't know how we're going to do this show after that. That was that was pretty intense. Look, he'd better pull through. I'm just saying.
Did we tell him the photograph?
All right.
Did you say that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we told him to submit photographic evidence of him having consumed this thing. So, anyway, so it's been a little while since we've done a show. The news has been, well, there's been some heat, some power in the news. We've got the Silicon Knights saga continues. If you don't remember, you haven't been following this story recently, Silicon Knights, makers of the soon-to-be, maybe-released game Too Human, has sued Epic Games, maker of the Unreal 3 engine, for, not making the Unreal 3 engine. So Silicon Knights went crying to the courts and wanted their money back, saying that all the features they requested and were promised were not delivered by Epic. And Epic followed with a countersuit, saying that, the lawsuit is a cynical effort by SK to unlawfully enrich itself at the expense of Epic Games. So the saga continues. Now they're saying that we've rebuilt our engine from scratch and we think it's better and the game is going to ship on time. We say we believe strongly in our claims that the complaint will prevail and the damages to Silicon Knights has suffered in connection with the original complaint are vastly more, millions of dollars more than what Epic claims its damages are in its counterclaim.
Now, can I ask you a question? They said they rebuilt their engine. Are they no longer using the Unreal Engine at all in any form?
That's correct. I think what they've done is they got rid of the Unreal Engine and constructed their own. Now, careful, because
in Epic's countersuit, it is said that in Silicon Knights' original complaint to Epic, that Silicon Knights themselves admitted that the engine that they were creating uses parts of the Unreal Engine, or is based off it in some ways.
Yeah, that's what Epic is saying. Epic is saying, well, you've used our technology, and now you're going to get rid of it. Use what you learned from it, and maybe some parts of it, to make your own technology and not pay us for what we gave you. So it sounds like Silicon Knights is getting slapped around a little bit. But they say their game's still on track. I wasn't too impressed with it. They had a pretty weak showing when it first. When did they first show Too Human? Was that the last E3?
I think it was 2006 E3. Yeah. I could be wrong on that one, but it was 2006.
Well, okay. So it didn't do too well, and they're blaming Epic about it.
So before we get into the debate, for those of you who don't know Silicon Knights, what did they do? They did Eternal Darkness on the GameCube, and I believe the Metal Gear remake on the GameCube.
Yeah, Twin Snakes. I think didn't they also do, was it Legacy of Kain or something? Was that the one?
Did they?
It was one of those.
I don't know about that. So what do you guys think about this?
Well, I think this touches on sort of an interesting problem in the industry, or not problem, but a trend, and that's the trend for middleware to really dominate the playing field. Like, if you want your game to be competitive with all the other AAA titles, you have to license the Unreal Engine because you just can't afford to make your own technology that can compete. I think that's a good thing and a bad thing. You know, in a sense, like, Epic controls the technology on the console right now because nobody's willing to put in the effort to develop their own stuff comparable or better.
Here's the thing. You still have other competing engines. I mean, it is going to have their new id Tech 5 coming out. I mean, you do have your choice, and then you can create your own engine. But, I mean, the thing that pisses me off about this is really just like, you know, just when your game fails, which I believe Too Human is an epic failure. But it's like, seriously, take a little, you know, fucking responsibility and finish a damn game, for the love of God. I mean, it's just like the showing at E3 2006 was horrible. It was absolutely stupid. And then, you know, even the trailer from 2007 was retarded. It's like, I might have a little more sympathy if I gave a shit about your game. But instead we have like, it's a God of War ripoff, but instead it's on Norse mythology. And we're going to throw some Devil May Cry elements, and it's just like the same shit. And Cyberpunk. It's like, please, God.
Dude, all those games are the same to me. Like, Devil May Cry, God of War, all those, like, go around, shoot lots of stuff.
And it's like, it's a conglomeration of all of them. Just like, and it's just, like, diluted to the point where I just don't give a shit. And the thing is, it's like, it's your game. It's your responsibility. You know, it's like, if the engine doesn't work for you, you had 9 months in the countersuit that Epic put to Silicon Knights. They had 9 months of free evaluation period where they had all access to the code, all access to the documentation, to the developer support. So I mean that's plenty of time where if the engine doesn't work for you to say no thanks. We'll do our own thing from here.
Well, I think it's not quite that simple. What happened was SK signed on to this deal with Epic pretty early in the process when Epic hadn't finished the Unreal Engine. I mean, Unreal Engine 3 is still not done. And I think they were promised a lot of features, or they might have been promised a lot of features that weren't delivered on time or that they didn't get. And I think there was an accusation made that perhaps Epic was using a better version of their engine to make their own first, you know, to make, like, Gears of War or whatever. Which is a pretty serious accusation. You know, you're licensing your engine for $1 million a pop, and then you're using that money and a better engine to make games for yourself to make you more money. So whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it's a serious
claim. Well, I got to ask you, just assuming that's true, what is wrong with that? So I as a company have an engine that I'm licensing out, and then I'm also making games, and the money to that is going towards that game. And then also, being the author of the engine, of course I'm going to make a new version of the engine.
Well, I think nothing's wrong with it, as long as you make it really clear what people are getting. Like, if you say to your licensee, you are getting exactly the same stuff that we made our games with, and that's what you do, and you don't deliver that, then you're in trouble. But if you're saying, look, I'm going to give you Scrub version, and I'm going to use that money to make, you know, games my Hella version, and you pay for it, that's, you know, that's your problem.
Well, I think it's interesting to note that this month, two games using the Unreal Engine that were licensed for the Unreal Engine, Stranglehold and Bioshock, are coming out. And I played Bioshock earlier today, which we're going to get to a little later. But it looks amazing, and it looks like they just took that engine and ran with it.
Yes, it's not like you can't make games with it. I mean, even XBLA titles. I mean, there's, I believe, RoboBlitz used the Unreal Engine, and then also Undertow, which is coming out. Which, you know, both of those are, you know, they used it fine. I mean, they're both very solid games.
Yeah, I've talked to some folks that are working in houses that are using the Unreal Engine, and The general consensus is it's not all there, but what is there is really good, and Epic is pretty much doing the right thing. You know, they're providing what they say they're going to provide. It's not perfect, but they're making, you know, they're able to make games with it. So I think this is, yeah, I think they got their, or they think they got their lunch money stolen, but really.
Honestly, I think they're trying to pass themselves off as they're the guys that had their lunch money stolen by Big Bully Epic, when really it's just like, you know what, just shut up, finish the game, do what you got to do. If the engine doesn't work, don't use the engine. You know, I mean that's all I got to say.
When this story originally broke, I thought the only way they could get through with this claim that Epic wasn't delivering on things they had promised would be if other developers were to, you know, start agreeing with them and jumping on boats with them. But so far, no one has done that. No of the other licensees have made any mention of these problems that they've had.
Yeah, the original the talk when this thing came out was that there was going to be some big class action lawsuit. And that never materialized, and I think that's what these guys were banking on. So you're exactly right, Blake. I think it's not going to go anywhere for that reason.
All right, so speaking of engines, id has announced another four-letter first-person murder simulator with their new id Tech 5 engine. So the new game is called Rage.
Rage?
And then this uses their new id Tech 5 engine, which, if you remember, was had its debut at the Worldwide Developers Conference with Apple.
Now, everybody's making fun of this four-letter word title, but look, I know four-letter word titles are getting old, but look, it's all caps. That gets some points back.
This caps lock is cruise control for awesome.
Well, here's the thing. Caps lock is good, but the other thing I've seen these titles do is make them four-letter abbreviations, like fear. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh, God.
That's bad.
First encounter, assault. That's me passing out at the end. From disgust.
So, id Tech 5 is going to be Xbox 360, PC, Mac, and PS3. It said it's a little bit limited by PS3 system memory, but I guess also it's theoretically portable to the Wii. So I guess they're asking about id Tech 5 Wii games, but I guess the whole mega texture thing is also portable, but again limited by system memory.
Man, I tell you, Justific, that mega texture technology had better make me coffee. From what John Carmack how John Carmack talks about it, it will do everything you want forever.
It looks pretty sweet.
I mean, it looks sweet, but he's like there are no restrictions anymore. You can do whatever you want. I'm like, yes, okay, John Carmack, thank you. Now tell me how it works or something.
Well, I don't know. If there's any programmer out there that can bust a nut in my face and I'll be cool with it, it's John Carmack.
That's true.
So, but Carmack also talked a little bit with Game Informer about Rage. He went on record saying that it's about 50-50 racing and first-person action. So I wonder if he's going a Crackdown route with it.
Yay!
He did mention some sandbox elements.
I'm not digging this one. It's sounding suspect right out the gate. It sounds like they're trying to do a Mad Max, you know, drive around in the desert, shoot people. I don't know. I mean, I guess I hadn't seen a lot of it, but... It's getting a major, major suspect.
Yeah, Carmack said it's a post-apocalyptic Road Warrior type thing. So I don't know,
in no way affiliated with Mad Max.
True. I still trust Id. I still trust them. They can bust a nut on me. It's cool.
That's how you show it your dominance over another on this show. Bust nut on. Yesterday, my roommate was mouthing off, so I busted a nut on him.
That's how us game developers do it. We spread our game developer sauce. That's how we mark our territory. But the thing I do like about Rage, though, is that they decided to do this instead of just a Doom 4. I mean, it is one of those companies that's sort of been criticized with doing the same game over and over again. And I kind of like how they're sort of spreading out. You know, they have this going on. They also have Orcs and Elves going on, which is, you know, it's going on to DS, I think. And then also Carmack has been talking about wanting to do an Orcs and Elves for Wii. So I mean they're spreading out. They're getting some new IPs out. So you know that part I do like. You know they're taking a chance with Rage. So you know they're gonna put some resources into it, make sure it comes out good. I like that.
I really like this Orcs and Elves business. I like it because it's completely out of character. I think that's really cool.
No, it's not. No, it's not really out of character because the game is based on, they made, what was it called, Doom for the cell phone. And then they essentially took Doom for the cell phone that was really popular, and they're like, let's make it wizards and shit. and they just changed like all the textures and stuff and made it wizards.
Well, I'm not saying that like the technology is out of character. Certainly, Doom for the cell phone was, but I think like the direction that they took it in terms of like the
maybe out of character for id, but not out of character for Carmack. I mean, Carmack was all about the cell phones because he wanted the challenge. And really wanted to be able to work directly with the hardware again, and then that sort of sprung into Doom RPG, which sprung into Orcs and Elves, which is, you know, which is turning into a new IP for them, which is awesome. And then also, just out of left field, Carmack talked about something called Quake Zero. He said it was one of his experimental like pet ideas. So they were gonna like it's I guess it's kind of like. Not a sequel, but kind of like a port of the whole Quake Arena code, and they're gonna put it on the web, making it a free game, and then getting their revenues through ads. So I don't know. We'll see how that turns out. It's intriguing.
Yeah,
me. It sounds like a cool platform if it works out.
Yeah, there's one side of me that thinks like this is gonna be so mega popular that like we're never gonna pay for games again, and we're just gonna get them all downloaded with ads in. It's gonna be like the new way we play games. And the other side of me thinks nobody's ever going to play this ever. So I don't know.
Well, it'll probably end up somewhere in the middle, I think. I mean, sure, there are going to be games like...
No, only extremes.
What?
Only extremes.
Okay, when you talk real loud into that shit microphone of yours, it breaks up real bad. So I can't hear what you're saying.
Dude, everything is black and white in the best damn podcast ever.
Look, I'm going to be on my good mic next week. You hold on to your butt.
But still, I gotta file a formal complaint with four letter FPS titles. Like there's so many of them. You know, just like think about it. I actually went online and compiled a list. I actually lifted the requirement up to five letters, and just like the list of titles is just mind blowing. I mean, we have Rage, Doom, Prey, Fear, Halo, Haze, Quake, Blood Thief, Hexen, and Two Rock.
No. Two Rock is spelled with two O's at the beginning. So that's actually six letters.
In case that makes it six letters.
Two Rock.
But I'm actually, you know what? I'm actually going to make an FPS, a four letter FPS. So it's going to call WASD. WASD. It's going to have a gun called the Cheat Code.
I love it.
Doom has their BFG 9000. Justin Fick has the Cheat Code.
All right, so. I'm trying to think of a segue, but I can't do it. Gizmondo exec Stefan Eriksson back in the news, guys. I don't know how much you guys have been keeping up with the Stefan Eriksson Gizmondo Dietrich Enzo Ferrari fiasco, but let's say, should we start at the beginning? I don't know. Maybe I should pull up
Blake Buck regale the tale.
We can do a brief recap.
Okay, so on February 21st, 2006. Stefan Eriksson, former CEO of Gizmondo, which, for those who don't know, is a little portable handheld system. It was never really popular, but still sold, I think, at least a few couple thousand units. Anyway, on February 21st, 2006, Eriksson lost control of his Enzo Red Ferrari sports car, valued over at $1 million, while allegedly driving at high speeds and intoxicated along the Pacific Coast Highway in California. The car careened off an embankment outside Malibu and hit a pole at 199 miles per hour,
Jesus.
As recorded by a speedometer. The impact of the crash was so violent, it split the car in half. Eriksson, the Irish-born American carny... Eriksson and the Irish-born American carny were found at the site. What does that mean?
Wait, like a carnival person?
Is
that
what
carny means? Like, did he pick up a gypsy or something? Like...
Probably. So Eriksson claimed to be the passenger of the Ferrari, and that the man he only knew as Dietrich was the driver. Carney, I guess that's his passenger. I think that's his name, not his description.
Oh, okay.
Carney claimed to be a passenger of the Mercedes-Benz SLR McLaren that was racing the Ferrari. Neither Dietrich nor the Mercedes were found. Police concluded that at the time that Eriksson was the driver and Carney the passenger, and neither Dietrich nor the McLaren existed. Further, the extent of Eriksson's injuries amounted to a cut lip, and blood was found on the driver's side airbag. Investigators confirmed the existence of the videotape of the accident shot for the car, blah, blah, blah. So basically, Eriksson was driving his car real fast down the road, in my mind, trying to get away from his lack of sales on the highway, and then careened his million-dollar sports car into this telephone pole, and then said that there was this dude named Dietrich driving the car. Now, he only described this person as Dietrich. Didn't have a last name. Maybe that's his last name. Maybe we don't know the first name. He just called him Dietrich, and he has no idea where he is. So this went on. This is sort of a joke that we talked about this on the show. It went on for months in the gaming industry. People would often reference Where's Dietrich and stuff. Oh, shit, son. They caught Dietrich last week.
Now, hold on a minute. Hold on. I think I have this all figured out. I have this case cracked. You ready for it?
All right.
All right, so now they actually arrested Dietrich, whose real name is Trevor Michael Carney. Now, Trevor Michael Carney has claimed that Dietrich also exists, and he was a third person involved with this. But now they still can't find him. He said this.
So wait, was the original report that, was it just like he was in the car by himself, and then he said there was another guy named Dietrich, and now we found Dietrich, and now this other guy says there's a third guy named Dietrich?
I think so. And can you fit three people in a fryer? Was he sitting on, like, Stefan Eriksson's lap or something? But either way, he's gone. But here's my theory. Here's my theory.
All right, lay it on me.
Now, you said that the Ferrari was clocked at 199 miles an hour when it crashed.
That is very fast.
Split it in two. So now my theory is that Dietrich went back in time.
Yeah, where did the other half go? No one knows.
The car was going so fast that Dietrich went back in time. He's probably out in the Wild West driving a steam train over a canyon.
Now look, Justin Fick, you know as well as I do that only DeLoreans are capable of time travel. How do you account
Dude, how
for
do
that?
You know, how do you know? The man invented a game system, a blockbuster game system. He can invent a time machine.
Suppose you're right.
Wait for it. Keep talking. Damn it! I don't think I can find Back to the Future fast enough. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I got it sitting right in front of me, Blake Buck. I wish.
Damn it! Damn it! Come on!
You fail. You fail.
Oh, there it is! There it is! Right here. Here we go. What does he say? What would Dietrich say right before he hit the flux capacitor? William Miller, go.
1.21 gigawatts!
Oh, shit, that's not the right part. Where we're going, we won't need roads.
I bet they arrived on the scene and there are those two, like, flame stripes going down the highway.
And the officer, like, what happened here? And they're like, come on, you can't tell. Come
Oh, shit, it just hit me. Oh, my God. The realization is just blowing my mind. I figured it out. There's more to this than meets the eye.
Uh-oh.
All right, you ready for this? This is going to blow your fucking balls off. This is so crazy. All right. So I submit that all of this was planned from the beginning. Stefan Eriksson, what's his face there? Trevor Michael Carney and Dietrich are all in on the grand scheme of it. So in the car, we had Stefan Eriksson, Trevor Michael Carney, and Dietrich. Now, Trevor Michael Carney flees the scene, and Stefan Eriksson says there's a second person in the car to detract attention away from the real Dietrich, who went back in time with the Gizmondo to invent the Gizmondo back in 1985 and take control of the video games industry.
But see, he messed up because he called it the N-Gage, and that failed too.
Anyway, so this story just keeps getting better and better. I can't believe they found Dietrich. I love it.
I think Dietrich is still out there. My heart is alive with hope that Dietrich is alive and in hiding somewhere. Dietrich,
he's still at large, crashing
Dietrich,
Ferraris.
More power to you, buddy.
All right, with that, it's time for releases. All right, guys, this week we've got the monster. William Miller, go.
All right, we have Madden NFL 2008 4.
1.
The Xbox 360.
2.
The Wii.
3.
PS3.
4.
PS2.
5.
Mac.
6,
GameCube,
7,
PC,
8,
PSP,
9,
Xbox,
10.
And DS. That's released on August 14th. So start your engines, ladies and gentlemen. We've also got Heroes of Mana for the DS. Muy Mojo's going to buy that tape. Also coming out on August 14th.
Yeah, this one's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, man. Heroes of Mana is a real-time strategy game set in the world of Mana to be released for the Nintendo DS. If you guys haven't seen screenshots of this, it looks a lot like that Reverent Wings tape that they're going to come out with pretty soon.
Dude, I'm done with Mana. That whole Mana... No, I'm done with strategy. I'm done with all of that.
We've also got Shin Megami Tensei Persona 3 for PS2. Also dated August 14th, Persona 3 is an occult-themed RPG set in a Japanese high school. Should I rape a Yumi? Yes, no.
Is this the one where you shoot yourself in the head?
Yeah, I heard this one's actually supposed to be really good.
Yeah, that's what I heard, but it's like, I guess to do battle, you summon these monsters by shooting yourself in the head.
I like that mechanic. Shoot in face.
All right.
Also, we have Rune Factory, a Fantasy Harvest Moon for DS. On the 14th, Rune Factory Fantasy Harvest Moon is a DS game from the Harvest Moon creators, which features RPG elements such as the ability to tame and raise monsters and use them as party members.
See, this is a cool game because it's like Harvest Moon except you fight.
Harvest Moon Battle.
You gotta take care of your farm.
This sounds like a Harvest Moon I could finally get behind.
I know,
like,
man.
I never caught on to the whole Harvest Moon extravaganza. Like, I never got the point of farming, milking cows, so you can get tools to farm better and milk cows better. I never got the point of that. Like, I need to kill something. Something needs to die. Also, we have Luminous Arc for DS on the 14th. It's an isometric view RPG that pits a group of fighters and mages against the threat of the evil witches.
Oh, boy. Can't wait. Dungeons & Dragons Tactics on the PSP. Coming out on August 14th, Dungeons & Dragons Tactics brings the world of D&D 3.5 rule set. That is the goddamn nerdiest thing I've ever said. To the PSD in the form of tactical combat. All core races and classes are available, plus the addition of psionics and customizable character classes.
Look, you can't do that. That's in Plane Shift.
No, you can't be a fucking nerd and then, like, try and, like, gangster it up, William Miller. I heard through that shit.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You said D&D 3.5 rule set. It's the nerdiest thing you ever said. I know at least one of our listeners just ejaculated all over the place when they heard that. It's like, oh my god, D&D 3.5 rule set.
Oh, god. Oh. 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 That is easily the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. Just a good thing. I almost want to go back in time to hear it again.
Stop right there, Dietrich!
I've got a whole nut full of jizz ready for you.
Oh my god, oh my god, y'all. Oh. I gotta clean this act up. I gotta clean this act up. I swear.
Sid Meier at Firaxis, we love you so much.
Y'all gotta clean this act up.
Now, also, they're not on the releases list, but I am savvy to this week's X-Blah releases. We have Hexic 2 coming out for X-Blah, and we also have Echo the Dolphin.
Now, see, I was never into Echo the Dolphin.
You know, neither was I. Like, it just sounded like the whole, like, environmental green game. I always thought
game was dumb from day one when I got my Genesis.
All right, so everybody, for battle trivia, if we ask you about Echo the Dolphin,
your opinion is
you are supposed to say it sucks.
Yeah.
If you do not say that, you fail at battle.
All right, well, now let's have a judgment. Just a pick. I think you got a judgment for us. Lay it on us.
I got a judgment this week, and today's judgment is more than just a game review. Today's judgment is about self-redemption. My game for this judgment is Contact for the DS.
Is this related to that Contact movie with that semi-hot woman who was the scientist?
Yeah, I never can figure out if I like her or not. Like, is she hot? Somebody tell me. Because it's the same conundrum I have with Sigourney Weaver. Like, is she hot? I don't know. Like, in some camera angles, yes.
And the chick and the chick from Terminator. You can never tell.
Yeah, like, yeah, you can never tell. Like,
it's like, I saw your boobies, but I don't know if I want to stick it in you yet.
Yeah, just in fact, don't make me pull out this sound effect.
So anyway, back to Contact. Contact is a top-down action RPG by actually Killer7 producer Suda51.
Oh,
Grasshopper is behind this.
Oh, Lord.
To now, I was actually looking at this game for a long time. Like, every time I went to the game store, I saw Contact, and I gave it a long, hard look, and I was like, I don't know if I want this. It's kind of like Sarah Connor. I don't know if I want this. But finally, based on a very glowing recommendation by a coworker at Freeverse Inc., I'm sorry, I finally went and dropped the $30 and picked it up. Now, at first, it appears to be an incredible departure from the typical RPGs, which it actually makes fun of on the box. Like, it talks about spiky-haired guys with amnesia, and I'm like, okay, game is clever. Get some self-reference points. All right. But upon playing through it, I finally beat it. It's actually even more dull than the typical RPGs it makes fun of.
Which
makes me sad. I mean, like this recommendation was absolutely glowing. Like, you know, like, best RPG ever played. Like, you know, it's so artsy, and it reminds me of Earthbound. Earthbound. Those are strong words.
Yeah, Earthbound. Indeed. Earthbound's a good game, son.
So, that it is. So I picked it up. So one of the things I heard about the game is how great the combat is. It's action RPG, which I dig. I like me some Secret of Mana, some Seiken Densetsu. I do like that. So it's all about, like, sticking and moving and timing and stuff like that. So I play it for the first hour or so. And for that first hour, it's pretty good. But after that, it becomes mind-numbingly repetitive. That combat is nothing more than, okay, so you walk up to monster, you hit B button, you go into attack mode. And when you're in attack mode, you move up to the enemy, and then you just wait while your little schmuck of a character and the enemy just trades hits until someone dies. This is how every battle in the game plays out, including the last boss.
Lame.
It's like there isn't even a cut button. The button doesn't cut. Button goes into cut mode, and you wait and you watch a little dude cut.
Lame.
So absolutely lame. And also, the game boasts, you know, a bunch of different costumes. There's 8 different costumes, which are kind of like your classes in the game, which you can change. But the thing is, like, they're all completely forgettable. I maybe used, like, 4 of them over the course of the whole game. It's like, they're not even remotely useful. So I also hear about how cool and different the story is. And again, everything's cool for the first hour. So it's like, the background is actually kind of intriguing. Like, in the game, as soon as you fire it up, you know, you make contact with this dude called the Professor. And the Professor is actually talking to you, and he's talking, you know, he's asking about you, the player. So you are actually a character in this game. Like, it does break down the fourth wall pretty well. So as you play the game, you're communicating with the Professor on the top screen. On the bottom screen, you're controlling this schmuck of a kid. And he's the one that's doing all the fighting.
Right.
And then the kid doesn't really know that you're controlling him through the bottom screen, but... You know, like, you know, and it's like the Professor is giving you tips on how to, like, control this kid. So, you know, in the beginning, it's actually kind of intriguing. So it's like the three of you, the player, the Professor, and the kid are kind of like teaming up. Like, you're a character in the story. But again, really quickly, things start falling apart. I mean, it's like that intriguing part of the story just, like, never picks up. It's like the game doesn't even give a shit about itself. So it's like you never start caring about the characters or the conflict. Like, I don't care about this kid. I don't care about who he is and what he's fighting for. I don't care about the Professor. I don't care about the bad guys. Like, everything is just, I don't give a shit at all. And even then, it's like, very quickly, the main conflict, you know, just, like, devolves into this collect the crystals fetch quest. And it's like, it seems like it tries to make up for itself by screwing with your mind at the very end, but it's like, it's too little too late. And then finally, I hear about the graphic style and about how it's all quirky and it reminds you of Earthbound. And again, everything is good for that first hour. So when you see the Professor and you see his spaceship, it's all drawn in, like, this isometric, you know, pixel art style. Like you see pixel art, it's that very angular style. And it's very cool. But that's all you see of that graphic style in the whole game. Like, the rest of the game on the bottom screen is just, like, It's just like crap. It's just bad. It's not even pixel art. It's just crap.
That sucks.
So it just feels like it's just rushed.
Mm.
So, but the final thing I hear about this game, this is actually the final thing, is that after I go back to my coworker and I tell him this game is butt, he gets all butt hurt and he comes, you know, and he says that really all the fun is in the end game. So after you beat it, there's a big end game.
Mm.
And you know what? There is. Like, after you beat this lame story, you have to go and, like, you know, collect, like, every single item and you know, and level up all your stats to, like, 100. And it's just like, when did this become gameplay? Like, this is something I actually want to get really pissed off about. Just because, like, this is a trend that we've been seeing in RPGs now. Like, RPGs like to talk about the end game. You know, like you see it, like, maybe, like, starting maybe, like, in Final Fantasy VII, the big weapons. You have to level up your guys to beat these like, the Emerald Weapon.
Right.
But it's like, now it's like RPGs are just using endgame to tack on gameplay hours to their crappy game. And it's just, like, doing the most menial, time-wasting stuff. And it's just like, oh, my. It's just, like, stop. It's like it's like endgame. The game is over. There's nothing left. I beat the game. I won. The Earth is saved. I don't want to collect fucking strawberries now. It's like, are you serious? And it's like, if you want to level up, say like one example is the fishing. You have a fishing costume in this game. All games have to have a fishing mini game, by the way. So you get your fishing mini game, and fishing is, you know, you have to level up your fishing very high to catch, like, this mega fish, kind of like the Emerald Weapon of fish. And, you know, I was like trying to fish, and I was noticing it was taking a long time. So I go online, and apparently, you know, by reading Game Facts, it takes like a good 50 hours to level up your fishing all the way.
Oh my god!
I'm like, are you serious? Are you absolutely serious? You're gonna make me sit here with a fishing pole on my DS for 50 hours just so I can collect this one item?
What the?
Are you jerking me around,
dude? That's lame. This game sucks.
So I mentioned before, though, this judgment was about self-redemption, and in that vein, I like to issue a public apology. Now, during that first hour that I kept mentioning everything was pretty cool, I actually recommended this game to our sound editor, Lucas.
Oh, no. You fool!
So I want to issue a public apology to Lucas for recommending this game to him.
We can only pray. He hasn't played it yet.
Well, he has, and he doesn't like it either. So it's like, it's like one of my big regrets in life. It's like, my big regrets in life are not seeing Nirvana before Kurt Cobain killed himself and recommending this game to Lucas.
Oh, that sucks, man. Thumbs down.
So I want to redeem myself by saying, listeners of the Best Damn Podcast Ever, if anyone tries to recommend this game to you, I just want you to act natural, just take a step or two back, punch them in the dick, and leave them to wallow there in their empty shell of a life for liking a game like this. Contact thumbs down.
Punch them in the dick. Oh, I love it. Oh, man. Oh. Man, Grasshopper Games, I've never liked anything they've ever made. I hated Killer 7, and that new thing they're making on the Wii, that looks dumb. I don't like any of it.
Is it that No More Heroes?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the name. Dude, thumbs down, Grasshopper.
I was interested in trying out Killer 7 until I played Contact.
Killer 7.
Is No More Heroes that game with, like, the woman with a stick leg or something?
Probably.
Like, the character design's real bizarre.
Yeah, this company's always had, like, Killer 7 is a really bizarre-looking game. Like, again, it's the same kind of thing you talked about. Like, it was high on, you know, like, quirkiness, but low on gameplay, Killer 7.
Yeah, because I remember the only clip I saw of that is, like, some dude with an afro and his head, and, like, to begin the fight, his head explodes.
Yeah, man. High on quirk, so low on game.
So, like, that made me want to play it, but Contact is kind of, it's kind of killing the mood for me.
You got to ask yourself, all you game designers out there, this is, school is in session for William Moore, school game design. Is the graphic style of your game adding fun to your game? If it's not, you got to take it out.
I can't believe how much of a scholar you are, William Miller. Like,
look, it's that's $50 me. From everybody who just heard that, actually.
If your shit suck, take it out.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I get stomach aches from eating so much butter, right? So I think to myself, what can I add to make this better? And I think medicine, and then I feel better. William Miller Game Design has changed my life.
No. See, son, look. No, no, look. What you would have to do there is you take out the butter.
You are a genius.
You put in chicken.
And with that, it's time for the jank of the week. I ain't a winner. Got a hot hand. Place your bets, ladies. All right, guys. Last week, Blake Buck got the ultimate jank. I hope you're holding on to your butts. Blake Buck bought an HD TV, finally, after years of playing on SD nonsense. So I bought the Olivia 232V, which is a 32-inch HD TV made by an off-brand company called Olivia. I got mine from Circuit City for $470. Now, it was supposed to be like $500 it was supposed to be like $550. But, like, the dude at the Circuit City, he knew a code, and he put it into code and made it cheap for me.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know if you can find the same code or not, but I got, like, $50 off with some sort of promotional code.
Now, Blake Buck, anyway, explain to me.
Now, did you get this through the website, or is this through a Circuit City store?
Well, I was in the store, but, like, to get the code, I had to go through the website, so I went to a computer in the store and then, like, did it with in-store pickup at the store.
Now, Blake Buck, explain to me how you have enough money to buy television.
Well, it's funny you should ask, William Miller. Blake Buck has been in summer school all summer. That's another one of the reasons that we've been lagging behind. And I made good grades this summer with a C in my accounting class. So I get an HDTV.
Dude, nice. We're proud of you.
That's right.
Blake Buck,
my
you are dumb. You're dumb as a rock, Blake Buck.
Dude, I hope you got a smiley face sticker on that report card.
No, actually, in my school, we don't have letter grades. Like, I got a rainbow this time. Last time I got
the rainbow means you pass.
The horsey is not as
good. The rain cloud means you fail.
So, let me just say something about HDTVs. Had you talked to me even 3 months ago, even before I bought this TV, about how good HDTVs are, I would have said, look, SDTVs are the same. They look pretty much the same. There's a little more quality, but it's not a huge difference. No. No. If you are gaming with a next-generation console, you have got to get an HDTV. Like, I could not believe the difference after an extended amount of time of playing on this huge 32-inch HDTV. Like, I could see buttons on my 360 games or, like, read text that I could never really even notice was there before. So, definitely, if you're still gaming in the standard definition, for $470, that is not a bad price to move up to the next level.
That's definitely a good Jake. I'm actually in the market for some HD TV myself.
It's pretty hot.
And then Circuit City would be a good destination for the... Because there's actually also a double Jake. I don't know if it's going on. If you get a Guitar Hero 2 Tree City... At Circuit City, you get 1,600 Microsoft points.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Ooh, no,
see, you can go there and get double jank.
One thing, if I did have a complaint about this TV, is that the remote is not, like, universally adaptable. And, like, the week before I bought this TV, I bought one of those, like, Xbox universal remotes. It don't work with my new TV. Lame. All right. Do we have a discussion this week, guys? Let's see, how many minutes are we into this show? We gotta be calling Lucas back here in a few minutes.
I've actually talked to Lucas, and he has completed the challenge. He's uploading photographic proof right now.
Oh my god!
Yeah, wow, he was is quick. Fast.
He's at what, like 45 minutes? Holy shit!
Wow.
Look, that sets the bar, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so
he said it good.
All right, so do we want to just move ahead into that? I guess we don't have a discussion this week.
It's time for the contest.
All right, guys. So last week we asked you to impersonate our favorite Rockstar game developer, Itagaki. Does anybody even know what his first name is? Is that his first or last name? Do we even know at this point?
That's his last name.
His last name.
Is it, is it Hironobu?
Yeah, that sounds right. So... we got one entry in this week for Itagaki impersonations.
Tomonobu, Itagaki.
So let's pull up our entries now. Now, guys, I'm going to give you one wild guess as to who this is.
Wazu.
I think I've been talking to him for about an hour, trying to shut him up while I'm doing this show.
Here's our first entry.
Yeah, anytime you hear wild guess as to who this is, Wazu.
And now it's time for the adventures of Itagaki and the Planetary Food Center.
What?
Hello, this is Irigaki. Brian, I told you to stop calling me at work. Why are you calling me? How can you be pregnant, Brian? Look, I know.
I guess it's Brian Crescente.
But you cannot be. You're up. All right. Here's what you're going to do. Take an Octomac, and the whole thing should clear up. You know what? Make it a 16-O-Mac. Okay. Tell me that.
All right.
Itagaki didn't even rate Brian Crescente. Brian didn't call in time for the contest.
Well, you know
what?
You guys heard it here first. Octomac causes abortions.
Look, that's on the fast track for FDA approval for birth control. It's the morning after Mac.
Oh, I can start keeping them in my bedside table.
You know that'd be a good name for the 16 a Mac. You can, either the morning after Mac or the abort a Mac.
Well, Wazoo, well done.
That's the
you
16
tied in
a Mac.
Lot of our memes into one joke. That was pretty good.
If you think you can do any better, I think again we had a good entry from Lucas. If you go to last week's show, he gave us a good entry as well. So. We're still looking for people to call in with their best Itagaki impersonations. I say we'll let this contest run on until next week, and then pick the winner. Oh, and if you want to call, the number to call is 845-BATTLE-9. So get your entries in. All right, now it's time for feedback.
Okay, let me scroll down here. All right, we got one from... Kalix says, hey guys, it's me again, first off.
No, hey, we got a voicemail, son. Oh. Voicemail, come on, you're scrolling too far.
Uh-oh.
So our first voicemail is from KG on the forums. Now, remember, KG was the one who was calling in a few weeks ago, calling Blake Buck fat and hurting his feelings, if you recall. He was talking about Bungie being a sellout.
I remember KG.
And so here's KG's retort.
Hey, Blake Buck, this is KG. I'm not going to say I'm sorry for calling you dumb, because I still think you can be a big company and not have any kind of corporation overtones. I think Bungie really changed when they went to Microsoft. And in their letter to the fans when they broke the news, they said that they were going to be their own company. And, it really seems like Microsoft has really told Bungie what to do. You know, make Halo 2 for Vista, let's put Halo 3 on a Zune and sell it, and all sorts of stuff like that. So that's really my take. Don't take it personal. But, all right, man, thanks. Bye.
Now, Halo 3 for Zune, what are you going to do? Like, aim with the click wheel? How does that work?
No, son. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the
Dude,
Zune.
Dude, you're going to squirt music at your energy,
oh,
at your enemies.
He's talking about like, the Halo 3.
It's like colored, like a...
My right,
gun or
it's
something.
It's got like preloaded from the it's got the music preloaded on it from the game.
Blake Bug, I think we need a rendition of that from your mouth. Go.
What, the Halo 3 theme?
Yeah. that all clipped. You know that, right?
That's good. As it should. This microphone cannot handle my awesome.
That's what happens when you use star power.
All right, we got an email from Kalix. Says, hey, guys, it's me again. First off, I want to thank William Miller for pronouncing my name right. I hope I did it right this time because I don't remember. So I was listening to episode 24, and I noticed you guys ragging on Halo 3's graphics. Yeah, they were butt. Sure, they're the best you've ever seen. But they don't look bad. And besides, Bungie... has said that the graphics will be better in the final retail version of the game. So what's the big deal? Thanks for clearing that up.
That's bullshit. Hang on, before you go any further, that's bullshit. You know, I like how these companies are starting to put out demos more and more, game companies, and they're like, oh, the final game's going to look so much better. No, it's not. You think Halo 3 is going to look any f***ing different from when you played it, the beta, a few weeks ago? It's going to look the exact f***ing same. Come on, son.
Yeah, the only thing that they're going to... I mean, generally what you do is you make a game, right... and you put all that nice graphics in there, and then at the end, you make it run fast. You don't make it look better. That's the thing. So it might run faster, probably not going to look better. So anyway, he goes on to say, and my final piece of heat is a stump, Riddle of the Sphinx.
R-O-T-S. Oh, I know. It's a real-time strategy game and, that took place in Egypt where you can... Oh, I'm sorry. F***ed that up. I can't even read. Here, take this, Ray Miller.
All right.
See, that's why Calyx gets bonus points, because he actually put the answer in his email. It's right here in the wiki. We're all looking at it. It's Stump Blake anyway.
You're destroyed. So congratulations, you've stumped Blake. And he closes with saying, Justin Fick has energy nipples, Calyx. P.S., when are you going to do – when are you going to put a hit on the dog? So back to the dog again. I don't know. You know, I've been away from the dog all summer. You know, I'm coming back. Hopefully we can get along. But, you know, I don't know. You know, I was thinking about it. Wayne Miller might just set the dog free. Like, fuck that. You know? How about I just... Because, I mean, that's all he wants, right? He just wants to be free. So I'll open the gate and let dog out.
Dude, you got to open that gate. He's going to eat your face.
Dude.
He's really probably going to be as free as a bird now. And this bird... You cannot change. I was in the car today listening to Freebird for about the fourth time on loop. And it occurred to me that it sounds like they say, and this bird you cannot chain. C-H-A-I-N. But then it doesn't work later on in the song. But I like that metaphor. I see like a bird with like this anklet, you know, like he's in prison.
I like how Blake Buck spends his time visualizing Freebird.
It's very literal, Freebird, in my mind.
Oh, well, speaking of redneck, Blake Buck, tell the audience about your mullet.
Oh, that's right. I almost forgot. I got on my heat sheet here. So Blake Buck has been growing out his hair pretty fucking long. All right, I need to stop cursing, but I'm so excited because my hair is pretty much the longest it's ever been in my life, but it's not styled yet. It's just kind of all over my face, all of my ears. I got to do something with it. My parents say, Blake, you got to do something with it. We're taking the HDTV back. So I decided the best thing to do was I'm going to go, I went on the internet and I printed out a picture of Kurt Russell from Escape from New York and also one from Big Trouble in Little China. And I'm just going to drive to the haircut place and show them the photos and say, make me beautiful.
So if any of you listeners out there have an opinion as to which version of Cut Russell's hair Blake Buck needs to get. It's feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
I'm a little worried, though. Will this warrant an update to face.jpg?
It might. I don't know. I don't know if I can top
the original. Could there be a face2.0.jpg?
A redux. Face.jpg redux.
Wait a minute. Of course it's going to top it because it's got hello, Kurt Russell mullet blazing.
Blake Buck, you gotta grow out your dirty Sanchez again.
I should. But, you know, I was thinking about Kurt Russell movies the other day. And, like, I don't know, my brother and I were watching Disturbia. You guys ever seen that movie?
Yeah, it's got Sly with his face in it.
The Transformers kid.
Disturbia, it's kind of this psychological thriller, right? So I was getting kind of bored with it about 40 minutes in. And it occurred to me I didn't really know where the plot was going. You know, it was kind of a slow-paced movie. And then I thought back to everything I think back in life, Kurt Russell. You watch a Kurt Russell movie, and you read the poster... Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York. You are in Act 2 already. Setup is done. We're moving on to conflict. Has anybody seen Grindhouse?
I hadn't seen that.
I have.
Oh, man. Kurt Russell is in Grindhouse. Way
I more. Know.
You better get on that.
I know. Does he have a mullet in that one?
I have to say that's one of the most refreshing Kurt Russell appearances.
I'm telling you. Man, he has a blazing mullet. It is awesome. Anyway... And the movie he's in, I guess I shouldn't ruin it for you, William Miller, but the ending is awesome. It's like all these things are going on, and then blam, movie over, the end.
Good. All right, somebody take this
anyway,
next one.
All right, here we got. I'll take this. Mark G, a.k.a. Princess Peach, this email encompasses several topics, so I picture it as 10 short emails instead of one long email. Look, I don't know about that. This is a lot
this
of
text. This is the wrong one to get Blake Buck.
I tried to avoid polysyllabic prose. But my greater intelligence may show through my forced retardation. If you don't read this, I'll send it again next week, month, in 10 smaller installments. So, first off, he says, Blake Buck, I'm ashamed of you. You are a self-proclaimed BioWare fanboy, and yet you aren't even the least bit excited about Mass Effect. Get your ass on GameTrailers.com and watch the gameplay and walkthrough footage. Blakebook says, Mass Effect is the next big IP from BioWare that Microsoft has been hyping. On to Bomberman. Oh, I'm excited about Bomberman. I love Bomberman. The game of Bomberman doesn't hold a candle to the trailer for Mass Effect. You will buy Mass Effect the day it comes out. Now look, son, you better cool your jets. There's a lot of capital letters in this paragraph here. I know Mass Effect's going to be awesome. I don't know. It's like, we don't have to talk about Mass Effect to know it's awesome. Everybody knows that game's going to be awesome. But you don't know about Bomberman. Because it's way awesome. Hello. What are you guys excited about Mass Effect? Are you guys excited about it?
I like the trailer.
Obviously, William Miller doesn't know what it is.
I'm not on the bandwagon quite yet, but I like the trailer. Looks cool.
So, it's a good game. I don't know. We sometimes forget to talk about things, give them the time they deserve. So Mass Effect, we'll be talking about a little more when it gets closer to release. Halo 3, he continues, Halo 3 may not be technically impressive, but I think it looks beautiful. Even if you graphic whores think it looks like ass, you can't deny it will be fun. When has Bungie ever let us down on gameplay? I'm thinking Marathon Durandal. Yeah! Ooh, I said it! Yeah! Burn! Yeah, I'm still stuck in the f***ing vents. I couldn't even find the vents. I somehow ended up in the vents on level 1. They scripted some into an existence for me. Project Sylphie demo looks like this is a long f***ing email. Project Sylphie demo looks like a Battlefront 2 space battles with 100 times enemies on screen and 100 times of the not knowing what you're supposed to do. It looks cool, but not so fun. Thumbs down.
Dude, you know what that sounds like to me? Kill Monty in space.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Now, I thought you were playing this game, Justin Fick.
I have not cracked it open. Right now, I am going through Earth Defense Force on Inferno, getting all my big guns.
Look at you. Look at you.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God. How long you had that game? Like, a month, and you hadn't played it yet.
Dude, it's still in the plastic wraps.
Oh, speaking of which, I've got something after this, after you finish up here, Blake Buck.
All right. After playing the Blue Dragon demo, I've concluded that all 3D, that all turn-based 3D cinematic RPGs need to be taken behind BDPE and shot. I don't have time to watch the same 20-second animation play every time I attack. Thumbs
I
down.
Like how BDPE is a place that you can take somebody out back of. I approve.
Yeah, we have a shed now.
Burnout needs less open world and more race. More game, less bullshit. Son! Those are blasphemous words coming out of your mouth right now. All right, no one questions Burnout. No one. Even if Burnout, even if 10 years from now when Burnout is like you're driving a car 10 miles down the road, it is still Burnout, okay? He continues to say, Hayes is ass.
I'll agree with him there.
All right.
That's all needs to be said.
Dude, give Hayes a chance. I'm telling you, there's talent on that team. It's going to come out. Why is everyone so excited about Metal Gear Solid 4? I'm not going to pay $600 to watch a dude whose thighs are bigger than his head snap another dude's neck only to drag him by his thighs 10 feet away and drop him. Solid Snake has the biggest ass of any sweaty man in any game ever. Japanese games, thumbs down. Wow.
Mark G is dropping the bombs.
Him here. My contest entry is about 50% complete, so I guess I was a little late.
You
completely
still got time?
Disregarded the rules, and Photoshop was not used in any part of it. I'll send you it when I'm done, Mark G. So, I guess, what contest was that? Oh, that was us as gods of gaming. I guess he's still working on his entry. Let me take this.
All right, I got one.
Actually, hold on. Before we continue, it's time to call Lucas.
No, hang on now. We'll wait. He's still eating, so we don't want him chomping while we're talking to him on the phone.
All right, well, we'll finish up.
Don't click that link now, because he sent me the link to the picture. Don't click it. All right, so I got one more I got a feedback to inject in here. I got an email a little while back from Dustin. It says, "Hey, William Miller, I've been listening to the show for a long time now since BDPE episode 2. And I just got done with BDPE episode 4 and heard you needed some games. Now, excuse me. Now, if you remember." Wade Miller went on a little rant last show about how everybody plays games and takes it for granted. Wade Miller is poor in college and can't afford any games, and is an orphan. So he has actually offered to send me a collection of PlayStation 2 games free of charge.
Oh, man.
Now, as soon as I get a PlayStation 2 to play them on, I'll take them up on that offer. Now, if you remember the PlayStation 2 modding debacle that me and my roommate got in a little while
you
ago.
You dumb.
Look, it was just one wire. We f***ed up. It
Dude, did
worked.
You brick that thing? I never heard the outcome of that.
Yeah, we bricked it. Pretty bad. Now look, son. We got that BIOS screen to show up once. But
Wedgie.
The CD-ROM drive wouldn't eject because we...
Look, I told you. William Miller knows my mod system, and it is foolproof.
Dude, you have jank mod system. Look, we're not even going to get into that.
I slide my card in there. I jiggle the levels. It works.
Look, the feds are gonna come after us, so... Anyway.
Look, I'm only using the mod to play backups, dude. Duh.
Oh, duh. Right, of course.
Certainly not Guitar Hero 2. Rock the 80s. Man, let me tell you something. I stole that game a month ago, and it sucked so bad I hadn't even played it yet.
Sean is crying right now. Stole his game. How could you? And DeVron, look what you've done to them.
Look at the face. Look what you've done to his face.
That's old callback. Old callback. We need to post that, man. Oh,
I know.
God.
Look, guys, coming soon. There's going to be... Now, I wanted to... maybe I should say this at the end of the show. We'll talk about the more regular content. We'll talk about that at the end. All right. Next, we got John. Dear Mr. Face.jpg, my name is John. I'm shooting you an email to say that I love your show. I'm part of a small faction of 13-year-olds. Uh-oh. Are able to be heard by a human, not just a dog. I'm trying to learn some basics of programming and game design. I just got back from camp. At camp, I decided that I really want to pursue this as a career, and I should interview some people in the gaming industry. I would suck your c*** to be on your show and get a chance to interview you. Please respond if you want, and I can send you a voice clip so you can make sure that my voice doesn't sound as high as a whistle. Send me a reply at blah, blah, blah. I don't know what to think about a 13-year-old sucking my c***. I think I'm about to be on that show, How to Catch a Predator. If I respond back, I'm dead.
Yeah. Dude, the guys in the van outside your house are like hovering over a button. They're waiting. They're getting their shoes on. They're tying them shoes.
Well, John, that's fantastic. You've decided to pursue a career in game design. It's highly, you know, highly rewarding and all of that. I don't know about you know, your offer there, but we'd be glad to advise you. You know,
sure,
send us
some more emails.
Except no sexual favors. We will not accept sexual favors. But
fellatio will not be accepted.
Certainly not on the show.
By 13-year-olds.
But look, here's the deal, all right? Here's the deal. You go to college, you go through an engineering or a computer science degree, and you learn how to program. Now, this is speaking from, you know, someone who went through art school. Now, you know, you go through art school, you can do it. If you want to be a game designer, you can do it. But you got to teach yourself all that power. So go get yourself a CS degree, make games, make a lot of games while you're there.
This coming from a man who's sitting inside of Sid Meier's house right now.
Exactly.
What was I going to say in response?
Dude, William Miller, you got no game. It's time to go through Sid Meier's stash.
Yeah, don't he have a big TV?
Look, play some of Sid Meier's Burnout.
But look, like, if you want to start making games now, like, there are plenty of tools. Like, you don't have to be a fantastic coder or whatever to make games. There are plenty of tools out there that will help you do it. Unity is a good option. You know, Game Maker or Macromedia Fusion or Flash or whatever. You know, if you're not a great programmer, you get your feet wet.
I just can't believe how ambitious this kid is. I mean, when I was 13, I was trying to figure out how to drink. That was my aspirations.
Well, look, I told you this the other day, Blake Buck. I judge everything by one metric, and that is me. Right? you're either better. Or you're not better.
And if you're not better, you are nothing. But if you are better, you are hostile.
You are enemy. That's right. That's right. So anyway, thanks for writing in, John. Good for you. Keep it up.
All right. Somebody else take a seat.
All right, I'll take this one. Black Shock writes in, says, congratulations on making number 17 on Podcast Alley. However, I feel compelled to point out, though, And the number 10 spot currently has about four times the number of votes that you do, and calling all of your listeners bitch tards or whatever isn't going to generate an extra 300 votes. I beg to differ.
Let me tell you something. I beg to differ as well. He clearly does not know the power of smack talk.
And he goes on to write, anywho, I'd like each of you to predict the future for Sony. Is it going down in flames or just going down? Good luck beating out hardcore history, Black Shock. So Blake Buck, hit future of Sony, go.
Just going down, not in flames. They're going to be around for a long time, Sony. They're not going to exit the game market, I don't think, anytime soon. But they certainly might be in third place by the time we get to this end, the end of this console generation.
William Miller thinks to the contrary. I think the PlayStation 3 is probably the system with the most potential for longevity in terms of hardware scalability. Now, what they need to do is they need to release a smaller, cheaper version, and a lot of people pick it up. And I think it's going to be on top at the end of the at the end of this cycle.
Mm. What do you think, Vic?
I got to cast my vote in with William Miller. I think, yeah, PS3 needs to release a cheaper version and also work on backwards compatibility. So I don't feel so bad about leaving behind my PS2 because I have all my PS2 tapes that I would love to rock out in a PS3 as long as they iron out them kinks.
Here's the thing for Sony, though. Here's the thing. Like, the distinct advantage that both Nintendo and more so the Xbox 360 have over Sony right now is that they have or are planning to open their platforms to independent developers to a large degree. Now, Sony could do that, but the problem is, to be successful at writing software for the PlayStation 3, you need, like, a PhD. I mean, the thing is really hard to write software for. I mean, writing code for 9 cores is not easy. So, you know, they're sort of at a disadvantage in the sense that it takes a lot more effort to write good software for their machine, but their machine is much more powerful, the technology is much better, but it's also more expensive. So if price comes down and maybe they come out with some, you know, easy-to-use indie kit for it so people can start making those crazy games, you know, maybe it'll boost it ahead a little bit.
I think a lot of people are thinking that Sony is going to just completely go out of business in terms of the PlayStation brand and... You know, you have to think about, like, think about Atari. We skipped on an article. We were going to cover how casual games, Hasbro was acquired by EA recently from Atari. But if you think about Atari, that brand is still around in the gaming industry, even 30 years down the road from, you know, I mean, it's not even run by the same people anymore. People will just buy that brand. I think even if Sony decides to exit the game market, we're still going to have PlayStation brand gaming related activities, you know, for at least the next 20, maybe even 30 years.
You think that the Sony PlayStation, you think PlayStation will persist even if Sony stops supporting it?
Absolutely.
I don't think that's going to be the case.
Absolutely.
No, I don't think so. You're not going to be able to make games for it. If Sony stops, I mean, I think if they were to withdraw from the console industry, they would do so, like, slowly. I mean, they would continue to support their existing hardware, and that would be it. And maybe, you know, they would continue to see titles coming out, but, I mean, I don't know.
I'm just saying, in the in-game Armageddon, Sony decides to axe the PlayStation. They would sell the brand to someone else.
Yeah, but think about how much they got riding on that. They've got their Blu-ray disc
technology.
Oh, no,
that's never going to happen. I'm just saying, a lot of people are thinking that PlayStation is going to go away after this console generation because it's doing so bad now. And I think that's, you know, couldn't be further from the truth.
That's true. I just think that it's a technology that's very difficult to embrace, that nobody really knows how to work with yet. And, you know, because, like, game developers are not used to multi-core. I mean, generally, you write your game on one core. Maybe you have another one for sound. Maybe you have another one for loading. But, I mean, it's a big paradigm shift for everybody. So the techniques aren't there. People are going to have to learn how to do things differently. It's just slow to be adopted, but I think it's superior.
All right, Justin Fick, go.
All right. Anonymous writes us saying, "You guys suck so much. All you do is get drunk, set up a recording, and laugh like fucking hyenas at jokes that make no fucking sense. But I love you and give the podcast thumbs up. Keep it up, friends." Thank you, Anonymous.
You know, that pretty much sums it up, actually. The whole...
That's... There's no prep for this show. Going to the quick mart is our prep for this show.
You know what we should do? We should actually make our... make our description on Podcast Alley this email?
That'd be pretty good.
Instead of gaming comedy, start off with "you guys suck so much."
It'd be kind of ironic considering our title.
I'd say we're gonna have to do. I don't think we've ever done a show where we're all just seethingly drunk. I think that needs to change real fast.
It's gotta be when we're all in the same place. Whenever we get together, we've gotta just
look. I can Skype drunk. I'll have you know, I had an abortion while drunk. I think I can handle this.
You ate an Octomac?
Maybe. All right, our final email is from Daniel. Daniel said, did I hear you say you bought Forza Motorsport 2? Dude! That has to be the worst racing game ever. I love these emails. I love when we get the extremes. Those are my favorite emails. I played that game, and after one race, I couldn't go on. You tap the wall, you spin out. I don't even know how they thought people would like it. Son, Forza 2 is the quintessential simulation racer.
Now, look, Blake Buck, you got it wrong. Now, Forza Motorsport 2 is real good, but the quintessential simulation racer is Redline. You gotta remember, it's the most realistic, you know.
That's right, I'm sorry.
Technically
I'm sorry,
advanced.
But the second best, the second best simulation racer. You know, it's not for like, you know, I remember when I first got into simulation racers, I didn't like it because I had the same problem as you. You used to play in Burnout, right? You hold go, you come up to a turn, press right to turn right, and then you don't turn right and hit the wall. Like, you know, you gotta learn about, you know, braking and weight dynamics in your car and like rigidity of the vehicle and stuff, and it's a lot deeper to game to play, but I mean it's still fun, just in a different way.
See, I think if Blake Buck, if his economics class had been put into motorsport terms, had been translated into Forza 2, he'd have made an A. He'd have been able to teach the class.
Look, you don't talk about
he'd have gotten the rainbow with the sunshine over it.
You would have gotten like you would have gotten like an HD television twice the size of the one you got now.
No, I would have gotten a little picture of just Jesus. That's what you get when you get an A.
It's reminding you you're not as good as you think.
All right, it's time. Oh no, it's not time for the stuff. It's time for battle.
All right, I'm calling him.
You better get that music cue back up.
Oh, you're right.
Hello?
Lucas! Alright, Lucas, now I have a link in this AIM window. It's called eatbox.html. I'm looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to this.
Uh-oh. Eatbox.html.
Look, I'm ready for this power.
I don't open it yet. Don't open it. Let me get there.
I was not ready. I have to tell you, I was not ready. I mean, probably up there in like the three biggest challenges of my life, along with being born and playing Mega Man for the first time. That was insane.
See, in my mind, Lucas, like what you just experienced was like the Born Identity 4. Like camera shaking the whole time, like people shooting at you.
I felt just like Matt Damon.
I'm getting ready to click this link.
All right,
clicking.
Oh, I see that power.
Oh, oh my god!
You think you understand, but you really don't.
Oh my god!
Wow.
You, sir, are a legend. A BDPE legend.
You are a god among men.
I like the big show, yeah.
I like this shot with just your face buried in this thing.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh my god.
This is the memory of the treasure.
So tell us the story. Tell us the story.
Okay, the story. Well, as soon as I got off the phone, called up Papa Bolito, which is the Mexican place half a block away. Called up Papa Romeo's, which is the pizza place about half a block away. Then I walked to McDonald's, which is about a third of a block away. That way I could, like, do math in the process. So I got my Big Mac, I got my pizza, I got my burrito. They gave me the wrong kind, but that's okay, because it's steak. I get home. I'm not really sure what I'm doing. Oh, I picked up some Coke and ice cream on the way too, because you know, I need dessert. So I wasn't quite sure what I was doing, but I get it out, and it's kind of like, you know how William Miller, you'll understand, is an artist. Sometimes you'll kind of go into the fantasy and you'll just draw, and then you'll wake up out of it, and there's a picture in front of you. And you know where that shit came from. That's what this was like. Just suddenly there's an eat box before me, and I could do nothing but devour it. Very much to do it. And it tasted...
And devoured it was.
It tasted like love. It did.
Oh my god. Wow, that's really, really impressive, I have to say. Well, okay, so...
There's this old adage, if you meet the Buddha on the road, kill the Buddha. I'm going to change that to, if you meet the Buddha on the road, eat the Buddha.
You are truly a king.
Well, you've done it, sir. That's Buddha eaten in that eat box. I see it. All right. Well, look, all you listeners out there, this is how it's going to go. You have to either email us or call us on our listener line, and you just must say two words. I accept. And we know we could call you anytime, so you must be prepared.
And if you want to sign up, either send us an email with your name and telephone number, or you can call the listener line and just leave us your name, because then we'll get the number.
Podcast at InsideNutGames.com.
Oh, not quite.
Not quite, but you can send one there too. It's feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. All right, well, thank you so much, Lucas, for being the first man to accept the challenge.
Thank you for offering it to
me. We hope your work today has inspired others to achieve a new level of greatness.
Well, we'll catch you on the flip side there, Lucas. You should feel very proud tonight.
I am impressed.
I do. I also feel a little gassy.
Try not to die. Wow. I have to say, That
was impressive.
That surpassed my expectations. Eat box. That's a new meme on the show. Eat box.
Eat box.
I just can't get over this pic. This is an epic picture here. Just face in food.
Oh, man. I love it. I love it.
It's amazing.
Now, should we have some sort of fabulous prizes for people that survive battle?
I think normally there'll be a BDPE shirt involved if you get a mission-based battle.
Yeah, it's got to be mission. Look, battle could take many forms. Now, you could get lucky and just get a question or something else, but this is probably one of the more extreme examples of how battle will go.
I can't stop laughing at this picture. Oh, man.
It's pretty awesome.
I love the one where he's like eating a piece of pizza and he looks like half retarded.
Dude, he's in the trance. Weren't you listening? It's like that artist from Heroes.
Yeah.
Like your eyes just glaze over.
So if you want to be in battle, you have to be prepared. Now, Lucas was very prepared. He was able to upload his pictures to his own website and send us a link. So you can do that, or you can put them on Flickr or something.
Right.
But when you say, I accept, you better be ready.
Now also, I think they should specify whether they're up for the... I think there should be two tiers of battle. Like, you know... One is just the question and trivia battle. The other one is the mission-based battle where you have to have a digital camera, so...
Dude, I veto that. There is only one battle.
What if they don't have what if we ask them for the challenge and they don't have a digital camera?
You must be prepared.
I think that should be a stipulation that you have to have camera.
No exception. You must be prepared.
You must be prepared.
Now, you could also have a film camera if you want, and if you manage to take the pictures and get them developed in an hour... The more power to you, but we recommend a digital camera.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's gold, son. That's a gold. Man, I just want to do a whole show of battle now. forget our
dude,
gaming
we
show.
We should just start off the battle cast.
I know, man.
The battle cast.
Oh.
So there could be... Now, this is sort of an unusual battle, but we'll try to keep our battling maybe games-related somehow. So, I don't know. Like, I was thinking of one, you know, we could call up... Uncle Arad and ask him to beat that Castlevania tape in 1 hour. That would be a good battle. That would be an epic battle right there.
I love it.
See, battle's supposed to test your mirth. Like, it's like Lucas said, it's the most challenging, one of the most challenging things he's ever done in his life. So you better be ready. Better be ready.
Yeah, oh, battle man. Is not to be taken lightly.
No, battle is not to be taken lightly.
All right.
There's a lot of steak in that there burrito.
God, no, man.
Jesus. All right. Well, that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
It was good to have a show again, Blake.
Dude, that was a return to form like I have never seen.
I know, man. That was so good. If you'd like to leave us any feedback.
I gotta say, hearing Nightwish again made me happy in my soul.
Not in your crotch this time, in your soul.
Not in my crotch, in my soul. That's deeper than the crotch. You guys can't see it by listening to this podcast through iTunes, but there are tears coming out of my eyes, tears of joy.
Remember that? I felt it going through, I would say so, but really it was just the penis. that's an old joke. All right, if you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com, or call our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. Also, guys, remember, if you want to sign up for Battle, to get a call from the Best Damn Podcast Ever and hear the battle music, just send us an email, give us a call, leave us your name and your telephone number, and you'll be entered. And each week we're going to be maybe calling, I don't know, three people or something, somewhere around there. So
I don't know. We'll start off with one.
Yeah, I think so. So be prepared.
I think we should call people also, until we get an acceptor of the challenge.
Yeah, until they accept. But look, we're not going to call more than one person, because if you complete Battle, that's like the accomplishment of a lifetime, and we don't want you to be deluded by other people sharing your limelight.
Right. Exactly. All right. Also, if you want to donate to us, just send a PayPal donation to donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com. And also, we got to thank Felix R., who donated us $15. So rock on, Felix. Thanks for the donation.
Oh,
for
man.
Every dollar you donate.
That's like server fees for one month.
It's like one child saved by Battle. also, guys, remember, vote for us at Podcast Alley. And have we got anything else?
Don't think so.
I think we're good to go.
All right, well, from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
And I am Justin Fick.
And we will see you next time.
I won't fail you. I'm not afraid.
Yeah. You will be. You will be.
A man, is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top, so we can know your story.
Number.
Get him on AIM. Give him the he gave me his number, but I closed my iChat earlier.
I just aimed him, saying number now. see, that's a head start right there.
What makes a man? Is it the woman in his arms? Just 'cause she has big titties? Or is it the way he fights every day? No, it's probably the titties. Now you're a male. Yeah. A male, male, male. Now you're a male. Male, 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 male. Now you're a male. Yeah. M-A-N, man, man. Man, man, man. Now you're a moron.
We gotta leave the buzzer bomb in his message. Like, we'll leave the buzzer bomb as his message. So you know you failed.
That's all we do. We don't say sorry. We called you. You weren't there. So we're gonna do bad. No. Buzzer bomb. Hang up.
There's our old friend. It's ready to destroy.